In Parshas Truma, we begin with the collection for the Mishkan. So we have the idea that Hashem tells Moshe that there's going to be a mitzvah of building the Mishkan, and we understand this in Halacha to be not only a mitzvah of building the Mishkan, but a mitzvah to build one day the Beis Hamikdash. The pasuk says, "V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham," that you should make a mikdash for me, and I will dwell b'socham, meaning amidst the Jewish people. So the first idea that we have here is that this is a source for a mitzvah min haTorah, a mitzvah d'oraisa, not just to build the Mishkan in the desert, but to actually build the Beis HaMikdash li'olamim, as Rashi points out, based on the words v'chein ta'asu. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. But, just one second, the word b'socham, so here we have, again, the fact that it's a mitzvah min haTorah to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rambam points out, we don't count all the kelim that are listed separately. We don't say it's a separate mitzvah to build the menorah, it's a separate mitzvah to build the aron, it's a separate mitzvah to build the mizbeach, it's a separate mitzvah to build the mizbeach haktoras, it's a separate mitzvah to build the shulchan, or the aron, etc. It all goes under the rubric of one mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash, v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. However, the actual word b'socham is surprising, because it should say v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socho, that I will dwell in the mikdash itself. That will be the place that I dwell, the Mishkan or in the mikdash. So what does b'socham mean? Not in the building, but
in the buildings?
Oh, well, it is a plural, so that's actually a very good suggestion. You might think that it actually relates to something plural. So in truth, bisocham means bisoch b'nei Yisrael, within the Jewish people. That is to say that God isn't really so much in a house, whether it's the Mishkan, whether it's the Mikdash, but where is God truly? Where is God really?
In our hearts.
That's exactly right. Ultimately, the repository of the Shekhinah, the location of Hashem, is within the refined personality. The Rav Rabbi Soloveitchik used to quote the name of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that v'shachanti b'socham meant that when we refine our character, when we develop proper characteristics, proper midot, then God dwells within us. And when we defile ourselves through sin, but not just through sin of maisim, but as the Rambam points out in Hilchos Tshuva, right, there are things that are worse than actions of sin, but having a corrupt personality, a personality of ka'as, a personality of anger, a personality of redifas hakavod, a person of ego, or redifas hamamon, a person who chases material items, or redifas hamachalos, a person whose life is about getting the best food possible, a person who's consumed by taiva. So these things defile a person's character, and ultimately they chase God away from a person. So ultimately what we're talking about here, v'shachanti b'socham, is Hashem dwells within the human spirit. The refined human spirit. And Hashem abandons the sinner who has corrupted or demeaned himself or herself. Now, of course, as we know, this isn't an irreversible process, because what can a person always do?
Tshuva.
Right, that's right. Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva. A person can always reverse this through the process of tshuva. So that point in its own right is obviously very significant. Now, I want to take a step back for just a moment and talked about the idea of the collection of the truma referred to beginning of this week's parasha. Of course, Rashi says it says truma three times. Daber al bnei Yisrael bichulu truma meis kolish bnei Yisrael tichu es truma si mizosa truma. That there are actually multiple trumos being referred to here, but the simple truma is the voluntary donation to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, a person can contribute really many, many different things. A person, as the Torah goes on to say, Zohav v'chesef u'nechoshes, gold, silver, bronze, techeles, wool, which is dyed a kind of blue, v'argaman, purple, v'tolash shani, red, v'sheish, or flax, a linen, v'izim, and the hair from goats, v'oros elim mo'damim, and red dyed skins of rams, v'oros techashim, the skins of an animal, a very unusual animal that had many different colors to it, v'atzei shitin, and acacia wood, shemen lamor, a person could donate oil that would be used for the menorah, shemen zayizach, and besamim, right? And they could donate spices that would be used in the Ketores. Avdei Shoham, they could donate fine jewels. Ultimately, we think that those probably came from the Nesiim. Avdei Miluim, etc., for the Ephod and the Choshen. So you could make a voluntary donation, whatever it is that a person wanted. Now, on Shabbos, we read about a non-voluntary contribution to the Beis HaMikdash. Which non-voluntary contribution to the Beis HaMikdash did we read? Of course, about the shkalim. Excellent. So the shkalim, the machtis ha-shekel, which was used for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, the fiscal year of the Beis HaMikdash started on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. They gave a one-month notice. They wanted to let everybody know that they would need the new half shkalim. Anybody who was 20 years and older, kol over al pikudim ben hashim shana v'mala yitain trumas Hashem. The same word is used, but it's the same for every person, and it's obligatory. So here we have really two points of contrast with the truma that's described in this week's parsha. Point number one is the truma in this week's parsha is voluntary. Me'es kol ish asher yivenu libo, and the half shekel that we read about in Shabbos, right in Parsha Shkalim, the first of the four parshios, that is not voluntary, that is rather
mandatory.
Exactly right. And not only is it mandatory, but here's the second difference. The truma that we read about this Shabbos is you can choose what you want to give. You want to give gold? Great. You want to give bronze? Great. You want to give dyed wools? Great. You want to give fine jewels? Great. When it comes to the Shkalim, of course, everybody has to give exactly the same thing. He'oshir lo yarbe, whether a person is rich, they can't give any more. V'hadal lo yamin, and a poor person can't give any less. So again, just to summarize and distill, mandatory versus optional. Okay. Number two is exactly the same. Right? We're not talking about having to choose from 13 or 15 different items listed in Parshas Truma versus choice in the case of the Truma. And then again, the third difference is the same amount. So not just this, it's the same item that it's a half shekel of silver, but it's the same amount. Person is rich has to give exactly the same as a person who's poor. Whereas in the case of the Truma, collecting to the Beis HaMikdash, or in this case, collecting to the Mishkan, Netanel could give as much as he want, Levi could give as much as he want, and we say, Echad HaMarbe ve'Echad HaMamit, whether a person would give a lot or a little, the important thing is, Ubilvad Sheyechavin Libo Vashemayim, as the Gemara in Brachos says. They should just give for the sake of heaven. So the same amount, a half shekel, versus however much a person wishes to give. And I think that this represents a very important idea in Judaism. Ben, in some ways, we're all obligated to do similar things. Everybody in this room is chayiv in shachris, in mincha, in mariv, in kriyat shmashal shachris, in Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. We're all obligated in the mitzvah of Lulav, the mitzvah of Shofar. We'll come up to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. We'll all have the din of Matanos of Yonim. We'll have the din of Mishloach Manos. We'll all have the din of a Seuda by Purim. We're going to have Shabbos Zachor. We're Chayiv Midaraisa Zachor Isa Sharasocha. All the same. Does that mean our spiritual lives are all the same? No. Because there are areas where all of us are going to contribute very differently. Each one of you has your own talents. Some of you we talked about last week when we were talking about Yirapo Yirapeh in Parshas Mishpatim. Some of you may contribute to the medical field. Some of you may contribute in the world of engineering. Some of you may contribute in the world of finance. And the same thing goes for the Torah world. Some people become great experts in learning. Some people's great contribution is in the world of tefillah. They become gabayim, as we were discussing before, and their shul presidents, community leaders. We were talking about in the context of the inclusion of Sinai. Some people are able to do incredible things in terms of chesed. So in Judaism, there's really a duality. Just like we find by Machtzis HaShekel. Machtzis HaShekel, everybody's exactly the same. The same amount, the same donation, and it's not your choice. And that corresponds to things in Judaism where everybody's going to have to daven shachars. Okay, Ashkenazim and Tzvarim are going to have a little bit of a distant nosach. Teimanim will have a little bit of a different nosach. But there are other things, there are many things where we're going to do things differently. Some people are going to learn a little bit more Torah. Some people are going to do a little bit more chesed. We get to specialize a little bit in areas that speak to us. And even within the world of Torah, some people are going to focus on lamdas, on deep understanding of conceptual ideas in Gemara. Some people become experts in halacha lemaisa. Some people become experts in Tanakh. Some people are going to become baki b'mishnayos. They like to learn a lot of mishnayos. Some people like to learn Sifrei Musar, whatever it is. And there are important differences between these areas. But as the Gemara says, Ein adam lo med ela b'makom shelibo chafetz. So when it comes to the operations of the Mikdash, we have a very important duality. On the one hand, there are certain things that are exactly the same. Avishai, if you want to, can you say, this year I'm not giving a half shekel, I'm giving 3 shekelim?
Yeah.
No. Right? Can you say, this year I'm not giving a half shekel, I'm giving a third of a shekel? No. Machtzis HaShekel, every single year, their machr is before Rosh Chodesh Adar, you gotta have it in before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's the same for everybody. Rich, poor, doesn't matter. Same material, kesef, same amount, a half shekel, absolutely obligatory. But when it came to the truma that they collected for the Mishkan in the desert, and this would be true in all generations, to give to the Beis HaMikdash, the bottom line is a person can always make a contribution, whatever they wanted. Me'ez kolish asher yivenu libo, whatever's in their heart. Let's say Ben lived in the times of the Midbar, times of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said, I have these fine jewels. I want them to go into the ephod. I want them to go into the choshen. Beautiful. Let's say Netanel said, I have gold. I want to contribute gold. Gold is going to be used to make the aron. And the kapores, and the kruvin, right? Or I want to contribute silver. Silver is going to be used making the sockets. Or I want to contribute bronze. Bronze is going to be used in making the mizbeach, etc. Okay? So this is a very important idea. In some ways, we all have to do the same thing. In some ways, we all have to do different things that speak to our personality and our contribution. The first Kli, anybody want to guess? Of the menorah, of the mizbeach, of the shulchan, which kli is the first one to discuss? Which kli is the most important kli in the entire Mishkan? Which one of the vessels is obviously at the essence of the Mishkan? You might think it was the mizbeach. I'm glad somebody mentioned that. Because you think about the Mishkan, you think about korbanos. But actually, the mizbeach is not relevant unless we're keeping the Torah itself. The Pasuk says, Zevach Rishoyim To'eva. If we would abandon the Torah, then no carbon would be worthwhile. And so therefore, the first kli which is discussed is the Aron and not the Mizbeach. Zevach Rishoyim To'eva. The carbon of the wicked is an abomination. Zevach Rishoyim To'eva. So of course, the first thing that has to be described is the Aron, because the Aron contains within it the Luchos. The Aron also, as discussed in the Gemara about Vasra, had a Sefer Torah. So Machlokas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, was the Sefer Torah inside, was the Sefer Torah outside. Point being, the Aron represents the Torah. And everything in the entire Mishkan depends on the Aron. And so, I wanted to teach you a halacha that appears at the very end of the first Aliyah in Parashas Truma, which is counted as one of the prohibitions of the Torah. The Torah says the following, B'tabeos ha'aron yiyu avadim, that the poles to carry the Aron from place to place must always be in the Aron. We don't find this by the other Kalim. Lo yasuru mimenu. We are not allowed to take the poles out.
Why?
That's exactly what I wanted to get to. Why do the poles always have to be there? So the poles, of course, give you the ability to carry the Aron, which represents a Torah. And it's obviously deeply symbolic of the idea, that if the Aron contains within it the Torah, and we always have to make sure that the poles are within the Aron, that they never come out, this represents the idea that the Jewish people, wherever they go, have to be prepared to take the Torah with them. We don't find this. There's no Torah-level prohibition against removing the poles from the Shulchan, or from the menorah, or from the Mizbeach. But since the Aron Avishai represents the Torah, that Samson we have to carry with us, Yaakov, wherever we go. The Jewish people have been all over the world. Of course, we were in Israel, we went to Bavel, we got scattered across North Africa, the great communities of North Africa, all across the Levant, the Near East, the Jewish communities of Iran and Persia and Syria, the Jewish communities of, indeed, of Ethiopia, the great Ashkenazic Jewish communities of Central Europe, the great communities of Eastern Europe, of Poland, Lithuania, right? So Jews, during the Second World War, a good example, with the Mir Yeshiva gets exiled from Lithuania in 1941 and goes to Shanghai. Right, that of course is the story of Sugihara, who should be mentioned, Chaside Umos Ha'olam. So the point is, wherever, and now Torah of course has come to America, and in many respects Torah has now really returned to Israel, in terms of the primary place of Torah study, as it should be. But the idea of always having the poles in the Aron represents the notion of making sure that we're always carrying Torah around with us, no matter where it is we go.